about prayer, and I'm just going, wow, where do you start and end and go with prayer? I think prayer is the inexhaustible subject in the Bible. It really is. We'll start with this phrase, all unanswered prayers, all unprayed prayers go unanswered. All unprayed prayers go unanswered. So why isn't God answering my prayers? Well, you may not be praying. If you're wishing, hoping, complaining, that's not prayer. Did you guys know that wasn't prayer? Wishing and hoping and complaining is not prayer. It's when you actually seek God and you quiet yourself and pull away and you talk to God about that issue. So all unprayed prayers go unanswered. James chapter 4, verse 2 tells us this, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you don't ask. You ask not. Those are some pretty big tools. Lusting, that's usually a big old emotion. Isn't it a big old desire where you do whatever it takes, you're going to try to get that thing? And then it talks about murder. That's a pretty big thing to try to get something you want, isn't it? Has anybody committed murder trying to get something you want? Have you wanted to kill somebody? Trying to get something you want? What did Jesus say about that? If you hate somebody and in your heart, you've already committed murder. That's a bummer. So you should have raised your hand when I said, has anybody committed murder? Because Jesus says, if in your heart you're hating, you're already committing murder in your heart. Don't you love it that God deals with our heart, not our attitude and our action necessarily? Because he knows that if he can get our heart first, then our actions will change, right? Amen. You war and fight, and yet you do not obtain. Those are big, powerful methods to try to get something. So we can employ big, powerful methods trying to get things, but God simply says the reason you still don't have is because you're not asking. Is that too simple? Is that simple or what? That is just super simple, isn't it? Warfare's not that simple. Murder's not that simple. Coveting and lust is not that simple. But just asking, it's pretty simple. Prayer's kind of like exercise. There's a thousand of ways to do it, but you still must get out of your lazy boy and do it, right? There's a thousand ways to pray. There's actually 650 prayers in the Bible. But you still got to do it. You still got to do it. I think sometimes we think we do it more than we do it. The benefits of exercise are widely known and accepted, yet too many don't do it still. Anybody say amen to that? Do you know that exercise is good for you? You know that more exercise is good for you? And we can talk to you about how prayer is good for you, and even more prayer is good for you, but you still gotta actually pray the prayer and do it. Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, he said this, I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all those about me seemed insufficient for the day. Have you ever been driven to prayer because you had nowhere else to go? That desperation. Oswald Chambers says this, we tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. God doesn't want prayer being our last resort. I had nothing else, nowhere else to go, so I prayed. God said, why don't you pray first? Then you could quit the warring and fighting and murdering and coveting and lusting if you would just pray first. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. This is still Oswald Chambers saying it. Most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that will get immediate results. Anybody in that category? Me? I'm there, I'll admit it. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in His good time, because His idea of good time is seldom in sync with ours. Is that true? Sometimes we don't pray because we're doing instead of praying. We want a faster result. And sometimes in our own arrogance, we think that we can do it better than God. We can engage it and get it done before other people can pray about it. And God's saying, I'd really like you to rethink that whole concept. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Whoa, that's convicting for me. That's convicting. I have so much to do that I skipped prayer today, is the way it usually goes. Or I just prayed on the go. I had the car prayers and the before I fall asleep prayers. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I must spend the first 3 hours in prayer in order to get it all done. Do you like to multiply your time and multiply your efforts? Anybody like to waste their time and waste their efforts? Prayer is a way you can multiply your time and efforts and multiply results. Because if you can get God engaged, really it's if you can get engaged in what God's doing, your results are so much better than if you just try to do it on your own. Prayer is not just trying to get God to do what you want Him to do, is it? Is that what prayer is? Is that what fasting is? I hope you're not fasting trying to get God to do something. I hope you're fasting trying to find out what God's doing so you can do that with Him. And I hope that you're praying so you can find out what is God doing, what is God wanting, so that you can cooperate with that and participate in that. Corrie Ten Boom said, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Ooh, preach that a little bit, huh? I think if we're not careful, prayer just becomes our spare tire instead of our steering wheel. And the spare tires they have today are pretty funky, aren't they? Those little bitty donuts do not go more than 35 miles an hour for 50 miles. And that's kind of the way prayer is if you use it as a spare tire also. You should not go any faster than 35, and you can only go a short distance before it's all going to blow up on you. But that steering wheel, man, you can use it for all sorts of awesome, wonderful things. Just be careful of that airbag. You know what I'm talking about there. You've been watching the news, right? Prayer is drawing close to God in friendship, fellowship, and trust. It's communion and communication. Do you know that God wants friendship with you? He wants fellowship with you. And He wants a mutual trust relationship with you. And prayer engages all of that. Prayer cultivates all of that. Some people have problems hearing the voice of God or recognizing the voice of God. I think that's usually problems recognizing the voice of God. But if you are close to somebody, you'll recognize their voice very quickly, won't you? Somebody calls you on the phone, you go, I know that voice. That's Kari or Dana. They're pretty close, you know. But you can recognize somebody's voice. You can have your back turned and somebody will walk up who you know well and you hear their voice and you know who it is. And if you get to know God really well and if you develop this amazing prayer life with God, you will have no trouble recognizing His voice. no trouble at all. It's the Christians who don't cultivate a prayer life and a relationship with God that's close and friendly and intimate who miss hearing God's voice. And those people can mistake other voices for God's voice, make decisions in their life, change directions in their life based upon a voice that's not God's voice. God has a voice. Satan has a voice. You have a voice. And everybody around you has a voice. There's a lot of noise out there. But when you can tune in to God your Father, your Savior, your Redeemer, the one who loves you and died for you and is coming back for you, when you can tune in to Him, then you can make great decisions in your life. You can follow and be used by Him to help a lot of people and do a lot of great things with life. William Temple was talking to a guy who was mocking prayer, and the guy said, "Answered prayer is a mere coincidence." William Temple said, "That may be true, but I've noticed that when I pray, coincidences happen a lot more often than when I don't." Have you ever, there's times that I'm pretty analytical, you guys that know me, and I analyze every little thing. I don't say it out loud a lot because I would sound crazy, but every once in a while I say it out loud and Kari just looks at me like, "You are crazy. Nobody else in the world thinks about stuff like that except you." But there's times that I think, was that a coincidence or was that God? I don't want to be a weird Christian, a granola Christian, a fruit, a nut, or a flake. I don't want to be a granola Christian who spiritualizes every little thing. I don't want to be that. Well, it was God's will that the Seahawks lost. I know that wasn't God's will. I know it wasn't God's will. No, whatever. But if we can see God in everything and spiritualize everything, there's times that I'm just thinking, was that a coincidence? Or was that an answered prayer? Was God setting it up? And every time I analyze it, I have to come back to, it was God. Because there's no such thing as a coincidence. God sees everything. He's involved in everything. He's very active. He's working a plan all the time. God never wastes a move. He's so strategic. God's always going before us and preparing the way. He's always doing that. So it's not coincidental. I don't make a big deal out of it all the time, to where I look like a fruit, a nut, or a flake, but I really believe that it's not coincidental. There's really an unlimited amount of quotes and texts and Bible studies that you can do on prayer. It's really an inexhaustible subject. I would highly recommend that you study prayer. At least once a year, you read a great book about prayer. You open your Bible and you read all the verses that talk about prayer. You study big prayers that are in the Bible and study what they mean and why they were prayed and what effect they had, because it is a beautiful subject that it would take a lifetime to really get a handle on it and figure it all out. Let's talk about an easy way to think about prayer. Four categories using the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. This is just a model that you could use in prayer. The A could stand for adoration or praise. So when you begin praying, we're going to go through the Lord's Prayer in just a minute and walk through all those things Jesus told us to pray about. But here's another model that you could use. Adoration. You just begin prayer with adoration. God, I love you. You are my creator. You created such a beautiful world. Lord, I thank you for that. And you just, Lord, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And you're just going to go into adoration. And just, you could spend a long time doing that. Anybody? Are there enough attributes of God that you could spend a little time in prayer adoring Him? Some of you need that practice. Because you haven't quite figured out how to appreciate things around you. If you're living a life that feels heavy. You end up being a little too critical, a little too skeptical. You might spend more time in adoration towards God. And that will serve you well when you look at other people and life situations, being grateful and thankful. That would serve you well. The C stands for confession. RB talked about that second sermon, right? Repentance, confession, forgiveness. Confession's a big thing. You can't be forgiven of sin unless you confess sin, right? Sometimes you can't be healed until you confess. I know sometimes the Catholic Church takes it to an extreme. But confession is such a biblical concept. Confession to God and saying, God, man, I blew it. I did not treat my spouse well yesterday. I over-disciplined my kid. I went to work and ignored my kid. You could just, God, confession. Lord, I just felt like you wanted me to give that guy $20, and I ignored that. And I've felt a grieving of your spirit and a conviction ever since I missed that. God, forgive me. Give me another opportunity. It's just confession, such a powerful way to pray. It's just cleansing yourself before God. And again, maybe you're living a life that's burdensome and heavy. What if you just dropped the backpack off of you, the guilt and the condemnation? Is that heavy? Is it heavy to live under guilt and condemnation? That's heavy, isn't it? Romans tells us there's now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want you condemned, but you must confess your sin to get rid of condemnation. You got to come to the God that loves you, the God that sent his only begotten son for you, the God that has an amazing plan for you, and confess your sin. And say, God, I'm sorry. Help me be better. Help me do better. Lord, I've been gossiping, and I know that's a sin. God, forgive me and help me not to gossip. Just confession. Lord, I made an appointment, and I didn't fulfill my responsibilities. God, forgive me. Confession. It's powerful. The T stands for thanksgiving. Adoration and praise and thanksgiving, to me, they kind of morph together sometimes. But you can be very specific in your thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I prayed and asked you to heal me, and you healed me. God, thank you. I prayed and asked you to help me financially, and I got a raise. I got a better job. God, thank you. Lord, I prayed, and I prayed the pastor wouldn't preach so long, and he didn't preach so long on Sunday. Thank you. There's lots of things to be thankful for. And the S is supplication. Supplication just means you are asking God to do some things for you, your friends, your neighbors, your world. You are in intercession and supplication and asking God to do things. Sometimes people, that's all the prayer they do is supplication. If you use prayer as your spare tire, supplication is the only kind of prayer you do. But you need to do the adoration and the confession and the thanksgiving also, and it would be an amazing thing. Let's talk about praying in the Spirit. We're a Pentecostal church around here, and we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit. I don't think we can talk about prayer without talking about this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is telling his disciples that you need to go to Jerusalem, you need to tarry, you need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, and then you will have power to be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and most parts of the world. And so one of the benefits of, how many of you would like to pray with power? With power. Praying with power is fun. It's great. And he says, you'll pray with power. It was so important that Jesus told the 11 disciples that were left, go, wait, tarry, don't do anything, until you receive the Holy Spirit. Then you'll have power to go fulfill the Great Commission and the Great Commandments. Then you'll have power once you do that. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, I wanted to read these to you today. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Does anybody have trouble knowing what to pray for? If you're just spare tire praying, you don't have any trouble what to pray for. You're praying for that crisis that's eating your lunch right now. But if you're praying for something else besides just prayers, a spare tire, then you might say, I don't pray an hour? What? Are you kidding me? I don't do nothing for an hour. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you know what you should pray for. The Spirit Himself, do you know the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, right? You have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit. He, Holy Spirit, I don't know, sometimes we say the Holy Spirit. Kiri always just says Holy Spirit. I'm going, that's cool. How come I can't break the habit and quit saying the Holy Spirit like he's an object instead of a person? The third person of the Trinity. But Holy Spirit will help you know what to pray. He will inspire you and empower you. It says, the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever groaned? Have you ever just run out of words and groaned? Sighed. Yeah, I've done that. Like, you don't want to say the words you're thinking, you know? And you're groaning and making noises. And Holy Spirit, I almost said the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. And He teaches us how to intercede. And He uses sounds that are not English, that aren't uttered, that can't be uttered like that. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's one of the things I love about Holy Spirit, is He helps me understand the will of God. Sometimes it's revelatory. I'm praying in English because He reveals. Pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. And as you're praying, more information comes, more information comes, more information comes. You can be very specific. There's other times when I'm just praying in tongues, not in English, because I've run out of English words. I've run out of revelation. I've run out of, I don't know what else to pray for. And then my prayer language just flows. The Bible says it's like a river of living water flowing from your belly, from your innermost being, out of you. Living water. Does that sound good? That sounds really good. Really good. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I actually have a handout back there at the information center that talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's available to you to pick up today. You can grab that, and it's one of our Bible studies, one of our help documents that we have, and that's available. There's like 50 of them back there, so you're sure welcome to grab that after church. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. That's verse 13. For if I pray in a tongue, and this chapter is really about Paul's dealing with a church that is a little out of control regarding the gifts of the Spirit. They're a little carnal. They are excited about Holy Spirit and his gifts. They're excited about what he's doing, but they're using those gifts in a way that's not profitable and beneficial. So Paul's bringing some correction to them, saying, if you're speaking in tongues loudly and interrupting the service, then there needs to be an interpretation to that. That doesn't mean you can't pray in tongues in the service that's not loud and interrupting without an interpreter. It doesn't mean that. He's talking about this message in tongues where all they're doing is praying loudly in tongues in the church service. He says, that's not helping anybody. It's helping you, but it's not helping the congregation. So he's bringing correction to that. And he says in verse 14, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what's happening when you're praying in tongues? Your spirit is praying to God, perfect prayers, perfectly connected to his will. Because Paul says, when you're praying in tongues, your spirit is praying. Does that sound pretty good? Doesn't it sound good to have your spirit praying? That's a whole nother level of prayer, isn't it? Do you guys know that we're not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience? But we're a spiritual being. I don't know if you know that. We're a spiritual, I say this a lot in church, so they're all, oh. We're a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. So there's times I pray humanly with my English language, but I am not a human being having a temporary spiritual experience. I am a spiritual being. And if my spirit prays, that's better. That's better than my humanness praying. And Paul goes on and he teaches a little bit more about that. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit, and I also pray with the understanding. Paul says, do both. There are some Pentecostal folks that you need to say, could you pray in English a little more, please? Because it can get pretty lazy to just pray in tongues. You don't have to think about much. You just, your spirit just goes on, but you're not engaging your mind, your soul. You're not engaging that all the time. Sometimes, once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, it's more natural to pray in tongues than English even. It's easier. But there's times that I've felt a check of the Holy Spirit saying, would you pray in English, please? Would you please engage your soul and engage your mind? There's some things I want you to know. There's some things I want you to participate in consciously regarding what's happening right now. He says, I will sing in the spirit and I will sing in the understanding. So Paul says, I'm singing songs in English, then I'm singing songs in tongues. Verse 16 says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, don't you love that phraseology right there? The Holy Spirit is a blessing. His gift of tongues is a blessing. If I bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? You're having a grand old time with God, and you're doing great, but others around you aren't benefiting. You indeed give thanks well, but the other's not edified. There's some amazing things that he says in these verses. You give thanks well. It's a very good thing to pray in the Spirit. It's a blessing. You're giving thanks well. You're praying the will of God. Your spirit is praying. That's a very good thing. He says, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10 words in a tongue. In the public setting, if I just got up here this morning and just spoke in tongues all morning, that wouldn't help you, would it? Some of you are going, well, you're not helping me much right now anyway. And if Johnny just got up here and sang in the Spirit, during worship service. It would save us money on projectors and stuff like that, but it wouldn't help a lot of us. So in the church service, we got to do our language. We got to project that. In verse 20, he says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." I'm not going to go any farther than that, but I like that part. Sometimes we have a lot of malice towards each other without understanding what Holy Spirit's doing in our life. Remember, that handout's back there, and it's available to you. Here's prayers that God answers. You know, there's prayers He answers and prayers He doesn't answer. You guys know that? God doesn't answer all prayers. He doesn't give the same answer to all prayers that He does answer either. The prayers that God answers are the prayers of His children, the prayers of the righteous, the prayers of the obedient, the prayers of holy and devout people who've turned away from their wickedness. He answers those prayers. Anybody know 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people, who are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. Sometimes we don't pray because we don't even like to humble ourselves. If you'll humble yourself and pray, then I will hear from heaven, right? Is it up there? And they will seek my face. Where's the verse? It's in the Bible. See, if I just prayed in tongues, we wouldn't need that up there. Who can quote it? Steve got it? Then will I hear from heaven and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. So God says, there's some prayers I'm not answering because my people haven't turned from their wicked ways. They haven't humbled themselves. They haven't prayed. They haven't sought my face. Here's prayers that God will not answer. He will not answer prayers of the disobedient. I think in your notes, you have notes in your folders. There's verses for these in your notes. I don't have time to read them all today. But God will not answer prayers of the disobedient. He will not answer the prayers of somebody that's unforgiving towards others. Remember that verse? If you don't forgive other men, I won't forgive you. That's convicting, huh? God will not forgive prayers of unrepentant sinners. That man that was healed and he was brought before the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, "We all know that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. You're saying Jesus is a sinner. He prayed for me. I was healed. God doesn't heal the prayers of sinners. Therefore, Jesus can't be a sinner." You know, that was his logic. There is one prayer of a sinner that God hears. That's that prayer of repentance, right? God has compassion on people. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So I'm not saying God doesn't bless sinners. He does all the time. I'm just saying people with sin in their life, God doesn't hear their prayers. He's not answering their prayers. And that doesn't even sound politically correct, does it? There's a lot of things in the Bible that don't sound politically correct. What? God doesn't, what? I'm crying out, my baby's dying, I'm crying out, I'm suffering, I need a job, I'm mentally broke, I'm spiritually broke, I'm physically broke, but God's not hearing my prayer? No, He doesn't. Not if you're a sinner. Does God still bless you in spite of that sometimes? Absolutely. Does God love you anyways? Yes, He does. But you cannot count on your prayers getting answered if you're an unrepentant sinner. I know it's not politically correct, but it is the Bible. If you mistreat your spouse, your prayers are hindered. Boy, there's a whole lot of Christians not getting any prayers answered. Preach that one a little bit, huh? You guys feeling any conviction there? All the single people are going, get him, Pastor, get him, Pastor. I'm safe on this one. If you're mistreating your spouse, your prayers are hindered. Wow. I know some folks that have served God a long time, and they've been so faithful in so many ways, but they are so ugly to their spouse. God is not answering their prayers. It's a clanging gong and a tinkling cymbal. We preached about that last week. Without love, it's nothing. I know that's not politically correct either, but it's good. And God doesn't hear the prayers of the self-righteous. The Bible teaches us to pray daily. An hour a day, three times a day, at all times, without ceasing. There's so many instructions about prayer in the Bible. Prayer every day, pray every day. Pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray when you can't go to sleep, pray when you wake up, pray over your food. What an amazing witness when you bow your head in a restaurant and give God thanks. What an amazing witness that is. And there's some verses for that that we just cling to. Amazing verses. Pray over your food. Pray all day. Pray without ceasing. That one's a little convicting sometimes. But I hope you have a lifestyle of prayer to where you and God are always communicating. That's not an excuse not to get down and do specific prayer. But hopefully you have a lifestyle of prayer too, where you're just praying without ceasing. Bible tells us to pray for the poor, pray for the lost, pray for the afflicted, pray for the sick, pray for our families, pray for our leaders, pray for our enemies. That's a hard one too, right? Pray for your enemies. Don't pray God kill them. You're supposed to pray blessings on them. I've been praying for my enemies. You're supposed to pray the kingdom of God would come. You're supposed to pray for peace, victory, help, mercy, and thousands of other things. We're supposed to pray fervently. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, accomplishes a lot. Pray fervently. Do you pray fervently? Brother McCarty, my pastor, I'm not a very good Pentecostal preacher. I don't know if you guys have noticed or not. But in the Pentecostal world, I'm pretty wimpy. It's true.
We love
But my pastor could preach. He could spit all over you if you were three rows back. He did swing on chandeliers. He ran the aisles. He prophesied. Larry and Crystal have a family because Brother McCarty prophesied. They were barren and couldn't have children. And along comes Sky. And then they couldn't get the door stopped. You know, he just boom, boom, boom. Jonathan even came in later, you know. You got to watch out for the blessing of God. But Brother McCarty's mentoring me, right? And he's like, your preaching is kind of wimpy. And then he's beside me at the altar. We used to pray at the altar a lot. Before church and after church and during church. And he's beside me before church one day and I'm praying fervently. When we got all done, he said, if you would preach like you prayed, you'd be a good preacher. Pray fervently. You can pray better than I preach. Go ahead. Pray boldly with reverence and sincerity and humility, with gratitude and faith and perseverance and expectation. Believe when you pray. and you will receive. Persevere in prayer. Some people in the faith movement say, if you pray for it more than once, it's a lack of faith. It's not what the Bible says. It does sound cool faith-wise, it does. It's like, well, I prayed once and now I'm just claiming it. I believe in claiming it. I believe in blabbing it and grabbing it. I do. I do believe in that. I really do. But you need to persevere in prayer. And I'm just, if it didn't happen this time, I'm praying next time, and I'm praying next time. If they open the altars to be prayed for, and I'm sick, and I'm needing prayer, I'm coming. I'm coming, because I'm going to persevere in prayer. There's some parables about that. Jesus gave us some illustrations about that. He really did. Some of your prayers aren't being answered, because I'm still long-winded today. Be specific in your prayers. When you go to the restaurant, you don't just sit down and say, just bring me food. Food. Just bring me food. Now, what kind of food do you want? Just food. What color of food do you want? But you're supposed to be a little more specific than that, right? What's the best thing in the restaurant? Bring me that. That's the dishwasher. No, it's not the dishwasher. Bring me food. But you got to be more specific than that. You have to be much more specific than that. I want chicken fried steak with white gravy and mashed potatoes with lots of butter and gravy on top. Can you tell I've been fasting? Huckleberry pie a la mode. You got to be specific. Sometimes when we pray for people, we just say, Lord, bless him. Lord, bless Larry. Bless Molly. Just bless her. You got to be more specific than that. Well, I don't know what else to pray for. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Because I'm praying for Molly. And God says, I want you to pray this for Molly, and this for Molly, and this for Molly. And that's cool. And then I get to watch her life. And I watch what God does because we prayed. And I'm going, that's cool. It's fun to be used by God with prayer. It's fun to pray for somebody and God tell you what to pray for. And you pray for that and then you watch their life blossom because you prayed. That's beautiful. The disciples only asked Jesus to teach them one thing. Teach us how to pray. They didn't say, teach us how to be great preachers. They didn't say, teach us anything else. Lord, teach us how to pray. It's the only thing they asked him to teach them. And he did. He taught them how to do that. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer in just a minute. But in John 16, verse 24, Jesus is telling them, up to this point, you've asked nothing in my name. Now ask in my name that your joy might be full. If you ask in my name, I will do it. I will give it to you, and your joy will be full. That's a powerful verse. Jesus is saying, you ever hear us say in the name of Jesus? Like we say, it's like in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I love you in the name of Jesus. God bless you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to knock your head off in the name of Jesus. We say in the name of Jesus for everything. We do, don't we? But Jesus taught us, use his name. Sometimes we don't use it. Maybe we use it in vain occasionally. But when you pray, you should pray in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, ask in my name, and the Father who hears your prayer will give it to you so that your joy will be full. God wants your joy full. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants you to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus' ministry was characterized by prayer. Did Jesus pray? You would think if anybody didn't need to pray, it would be Jesus, right? God the Son. You'd think that if anybody didn't need to pray, did anybody have a connection with God? Did anybody know the will of God? You would think that his Son, Jesus, wouldn't have to pray, But Jesus prayed all the time. All the time. If you just studied the times Jesus prayed, boy, that would be an amazing study. That would be an amazing study. He always found time to pray. There was times he prayed late at night. There was times he sent them on ahead so he could stay and pray. There was times he got up early so he could pray. There was times he took a vacation so he could pray. He pulled away so he could pray. Jesus forgot to eat sometimes. He forgot to sleep sometimes, but he never forgot to pray. There were times he didn't have time to eat and he didn't have time to rest, but he always found time to pray. Sometimes we're the opposite. We'll find time to eat and we'll find time to sleep, but it's hard for us to find time to pray. But Jesus always found time to pray. Never be too busy to pray. There's a handout that we're going to give you, and the ushers are going to come right now, and they're going to hand that out. Hopefully they can hear me back there behind the closed doors in the inner sanctum. And this is just an extra piece for you to take home, and it's 30 ways to pray for leaders, but it's 30 ways you can pray for lots of different people, yourself and others included. And I wanted you to have that today, very special, and take home. But the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, and that's why we have the Lord's Prayer, right? We call it the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. It's very powerful, very simple. Up above that, he said, you don't need a whole lot of words. You don't need vain repetitions. You don't need that. It's not a mantra. It's not a repetitious vain by much speaking the same thing, you'll finally wear God out and make him do it. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. So Jesus said, use these words, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. When you begin praying, you should address God. God, I recognize you. You're my Father. You're my Creator. You're way, way above me in heaven. And you are holy, and you are righteous, and you are perfect. And I'm humbling myself and coming to you in prayer. What a great way to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And hallowed be your name is a worship, an adoration, a praise. We've already talked about that. God, you're holy. God, you're perfect. You're right. Everything you do is beautiful. God, your ways are way beyond me, God. Lord, I love you. And just praying worship and adoration. And it says, pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a fabulous phrase right there. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, just like it's done in heaven. What do you want to happen on earth? Your will or God's will? The Republicans' will or the Democrats' will or God's will? God's will. Do you pray for God's will to come and his kingdom to come on earth? What's the best, most perfect thing we could have? The kingdom of God, the rulership of God. And we got some projection of that in the millennia. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ is going to be amazing and perfect. 1,000 years of absolute amazing perfection. The lamb and the lion are going to lay down together. Snake will come out of its hole, but it won't bite anybody. It's going to be cool. It's going to be totally cool. And heaven and eternity is going to be even better than all that. But if the kingdom of God would come in your home, in your family, in your life, in your community, it would really, really benefit your community, your life, your family, your home. So pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's an act of submission too. God, I'm going to submit myself to your will. Your spiritual ways, your ways are all better. We want your kingdom, your will. Give us this day our daily bread. There you get into a little supplication, right? You get into, Lord, I have some needs today, and I ask you to heal my body. I ask you to meet my financial needs. God, I ask you to help me pay the bills. Lord, I ask you to help me get that new job. I ask you to help me to get all of my needs met so I can meet other people's needs. God, I ask you to help me, and you just, and then you pray for other people. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a powerful, powerful thing to pray about. God, we talked about confession already, but how about as we forgive our debtors? There's some people that owe me. There are people that owe me, but I'm going to forgive them. There are some people that have wronged me, but I'm going to forgive them. But if I don't go through the Lord's Prayer or something similar, I could go for years or decades without releasing people in forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, we should pray that every single morning, huh? Is there a little temptation and evil out there? Are you praying for God to protect you? The Bible says that your flesh will eat your lunch if you're not careful. It will destroy you. But you're supposed to crucify your flesh, mortify the deeds of your body. If we're not careful, we make provision for the lust of our flesh. But if you'll pray a prayer like this, you can short-circuit your flesh making provisions to go do what it wants to do. And you're saying, Lord, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. The evil that I want to do, the evil that others want to do to me, the evil that Satan has planned for me, deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I'm praying to you, God, and you are all powerful. And you will get all the glory for the answer of these prayers. Amen. So be it. So be it. What a great way to close your prayers. Amen? Amen. Amen. Sometimes we use in the name of Jesus and amen in some crazy ways, but they're really powerful phrases and words. Amen. So be it. I want to close with Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, go into your room. When you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and he will reward you openly. He sees your prayers. He listens to your prayers. And if you will pray to him in secret, he will reward you openly. You guys like rewards? I like rewards. I'm wanting something. I'm needing something. I want to make life better. That phrase at the Life Center is not an accidental phrase. God wants us to have a better life, a more spiritual life, a more fruitful life. He wants us to have that. He wants to reward us. He wants to answer our prayers. And if you'll pray, anybody watch The War Room? Is that not an amazing movie? If you have not seen The War Room, we have 10 copies, 13 copies actually, floating around here. Let us know, and we will get that movie to you. You can invite some friends over and watch it. It is powerful about prayer. Amen. Amen. Get your Connect cards out today. They're probably showing that slideshow up there, huh? That's cool. In your folder is your Connect cards. We want everybody to fill them out every week. So if you've been here for 100 years, we still want you to fill this out every week and connect with us, because we want to connect with you. And there's some things you can say in there. You can make prayer requests, and we send them out and get prayed for throughout the week. You can give us answers to prayer, and we'll celebrate with you. You can ask questions on there. There's boxes for you to check on the back. If you want to sign up for the singles or the couples core communication classes, there's boxes to check there. We'll get you on that list. But a couple of the responses to the message. I'm going to use prayer as my steering wheel rather than my spare tire, and I will be a person of prayer. If that's you, hopefully that's all of us, check that box today. And then the next one is, I need God's power and guidance in my life. I will talk to him and listen to my answers. We didn't say a lot about listening to God in your prayer time, but prayer is a two-way communication where God wants to talk to you. You shouldn't just run off of your list and then jump up and go about your day. You should hang out with God a little bit and listen and see what He wants to say to you, because He is a great communicator.